It's the Noon Report from Family Life, bringing a Christian worldview to what's happening in New York, Pennsylvania, across the country, and around the world. Weather with Kevin Williams, sports with Sunny Delfiette, plus special features and reports with the Family Life News team. Now, here's what's happening.
Let the hearings begin. Good afternoon. Welcome aboard. Congress has begun a formal probe into President Trump. Did he commit an impeachable offense while on a phone call with the leader of Ukraine?
The witch hunt continues. It's a joke. Impeachment for that?
Today, the House Intelligence Committee is looking into it. It's investigating a whistleblower complaint released to the public this morning. Committee Chairman Adam Schiff.
The President of the United States has betrayed his oath of office. Our President sacrificed our national security and our Constitution for his personal political benefit.
But ranking Republican Devin Nunes says the whistleblower is politically motivated and Democrats are on a witch hunt.
They don't want answers. They want a public spectacle. And so we've been treated to an unending parade of press releases, press conferences, and fake news stories.
The star witness at today's hearing, Joseph McGuire, the acting director of National Intelligence.
I am not familiar with any prior instances where a whistleblower complaint touched on such complicated and sensitive issues, including executive privilege. I believe that this matter is unprecedented.
The whistleblower in question is an intelligence official who learned about the president's phone call secondhand from somebody at the White House.
I want to stress that I believe that the whistleblower and the inspector general have acted in good faith throughout. I have every reason to believe that they have done everything by the book and followed the law.
The whistleblower alleges the president pressured a foreign power to investigate a political rival, California Congressman Eric Swalwell.
It heightens our concern, and it also gave us new leads, new witnesses, new materials to follow.
But Republican Chris Stewart says there's nothing to follow and nothing that warrants the impeachment inquiry.
I don't care if there's 217 Democrats who are voting for impeachment. That does not matter. It's the American people that matter in this thing. And they look at what Richard Nixon did and they go, that was wrong. They look at what Bill Clinton did and they just intuitively know this was wrong. But you have to explain to them, well, for him to go talk to a foreign leader and to ask him to investigate corruption, and most Americans go, I don't get it. Where's the crime?
The whistleblower complaint alleges the president was leveraging military aid to have Ukraine investigate corruption claims against former Vice President Joe Biden. Talks to end the GM strike picking up speed in Detroit from the Motor City. Correspondent Jeff Gilbert.
This is the part of the talks where both sides get serious, but it doesn't mean a deal will be done quickly, as issues involving wages and temporary workers are not easy to settle. But GM says it will keep talking, and the union says the back and forth will continue until negotiations are complete.
The job action has sidelined nearly 50,000 workers. They've been on strike since mid-September. Former French President Jacques Chirac has died. He was 86.
Jacques Chirac was a fixture of French politics for decades, from prime minister to president. He was one of Europe's most vocal opponents to the 2003 U.S.-led invasion of Iraq.
Correspondent Tina Krause, there's been another death linked to vaping. Lee Hundley with the Georgia Department of Health.
You know, if this was romaine lettuce that was making people sick, then we would take it off the shelves, right? So now we can link all these patients to vaping. And so that's our recommendation.
The death of a Georgia man, the 11th, blamed on electronic cigarettes.
The case is an older gentleman who was a former cigarette smoker and then about 6 years ago had switched over to nicotine vaping.
Authorities looking for any common denominators that would link these vaping fatalities.
There is no common device, no common, you know, substance or specific labeled product that we can link to all the cases, either in Georgia or nationally.
The CDC investigating no fewer than 500 cases of pneumonia that is caused by vaping. Mattel is marketing a gender-inclusive Barbie doll. Comes with both feminine and masculine accessories. Mattel calls the toy, and we're quoting here, an opportunity to open dialogue about what dolls are and who dolls are for. The gender-inclusive Barbies come in six different varieties. 50 years ago today,
come together right now over me.
The Beatles' Abbey Road hit record stores. It was the last album the Fab Four would ever record. A remixed version of Abbey Road being released today to mark the milestone. There's another 50th anniversary celebration today.
Here's the story of a lovely lady.
It was on this date, September 26, 1969, that the Brady Bunch first aired on ABC. The popular sitcom ran for five seasons and spawned several spin-off movies. Still to come on the Noon Report. For a Thursday, fatal stabbing at a local shopping mall. Cuomo and his girlfriend calling it quits, and Pennsylvania's governor supports marijuana. We'll have more on that after this.
Good afternoon. We're looking at a rather varied afternoon across the region with sunshine, showers, and thunderstorms all in the mix. I'll be back with the detailed forecast for not only today, but heading into the weekend. We'll look for you in about 10 minutes.
All right. We'll see you then. Thanks, Kevin. Checking the stories across New York, Pennsylvania. Today's two central New York congressmen, one a Republican, the other a Democrat, say they need more time to consider all the facts before they endorse impeaching the president. Family Life's Jeremy Miller.
Congressman Anthony Brindisi is one of the few Democrats not calling for impeachment right now after the release of a memo detailing a call between President Trump and the Ukrainian president. The congressman represents an area that includes Utica, Rome, and Binghamton. He says he won't bow to social media pressure and will focus on upholding the Constitution. Meantime, Congressman John Katko, who represents all of Cayuga, Onondaga, and Wayne counties, as well as the western part of Oswego County, says he's still waiting for the full facts before he supports impeachment, calling the abrupt decision by House Democrats a dramatic overstep. Jeremy Miller, Family Life News.
Thank you, Jeremy. An arrest has been made following a fatal stabbing. It happened inside the McKinley Mall in Hamburg, New York. A 36-year-old woman was stabbed to death yesterday afternoon inside the Sears store.
There are several witnesses, and we believe at this time that the victim knew the assailant.
Hamburg Police Chief Greg Wickett says an Erie County Sheriff's helicopter helped locate the murder suspect last night in Niagara Falls. The stabbing happened in the children's department of the Sears store.
The employees were freaking out. They were getting a lot of phone calls, they said, from people at home, husbands, boyfriends, things like that. They were family members are freaked out and concerned. Understandably.
The McKinley Mall remained open while the investigation got underway. Authorities today releasing the cause of that home explosion this week in Ontario County, New York, that took the lives of an elderly couple. A propane leak is what prompted the blast early Tuesday. 70-year-old Gail Higgum and her 80-year-old husband Eric died in that explosion in the town of Richmond. It's Splitsville for New York Governor Andrew Cuomo and his longtime girlfriend Food Network star Sandra Lee. They've announced an amicable breakup after more than a decade together. Correspondent Noam Layden.
The governor and TV chef were together for 14 years. Cuomo by Sandra Lee's side back in 2015 as she battled breast cancer.
I think he was as stunned as I was. He's been extremely supportive. He's going to be in the operating room with me.
But now the couple confirming they're ending their relationship. In a statement, they say their lives have gone in different directions. Cuomo has moved out of the home they once shared in Westchester and into the governor's mansion in Albany. Noam Layden, New York.
Pennsylvania Governor Tom Wolf now on record supporting the legalization of recreational marijuana. He wants lawmakers to begin work immediately to make it a reality.
People want regulated adult recreational marijuana use. It's not kids, it's not illicit stuff, it's not putting bad things into it, it's recreational marijuana for adults, and it's controlled.
The call for full-blown legalization comes 4 months after the Lieutenant Governor John Fetterman's statewide marijuana listening tour. He says anywhere from 65% to 70% of Pennsylvanians support recreational pot.
If you are opposed to the recreational use, adult use of cannabis, that is a minority view now in Pennsylvania.
One of those in the minority is Marianne Hansen. She's a retired prison guard from Susquehanna County and has seen firsthand the damage marijuana can do.
It changes their perception of reality. It affects their relationships with other human beings. with family members, with their coworkers.
3 years ago, Pennsylvania legalized medicinal marijuana. Republicans in control of the General Assembly have no plans to lift the ban on recreational marijuana. A Virginia family is suing the Harbor Hotel in Watkins Glen, New York. Last summer, a woman died there after contracting pneumonia from Legionella bacteria at a hotel swimming pool or spa. She was in town for a wedding. The victim's family claims the Harbor Hotel is responsible for her death. Pennsylvania is making a concerted effort to raise awareness about suicide. The rate of suicide there has increased 35% since 1999. State Representative Jennifer O'Mara knows firsthand the pain of suicide.
On February 2nd, 2003, my mom and I found my dad dead from a self-inflicted gunshot wound.
She says mental health awareness is key to reducing the rate of suicide. Pennsylvania's Human Services Secretary Teresa Miller thinks removing the stigma is crucial as well.
People need to understand that they are not alone, and that when they share their experiences and their thoughts, they will be met with compassion and support, not judgment and dismissal.
Pennsylvania loses 2,300 people a year to suicide. Gavin Martin is with Prevent Suicide PA.
And we really believe in the suicide community. That's about a 5 to 10% underestimation. So there's a lot more, unfortunately, suicide that take place that we don't know about.
Suicide now the second leading cause of death among American teenagers. A date has been set to fill a vacant Senate seat in Pennsylvania. Republican Mike Fulmer abandoning that seat last week after being charged with possession of child pornography. The four-term lawmaker represented voters in Lebanon, Dauphin, and York counties, the 48th Senate district. The special election to fill his seat will happen January 14th, 2020. There's a bus driver shortage in the Owego Appalachian School District in New York's Southern Tier, and it is threatening children's after-school activities.
We are in a critical shortage of school bus drivers for Owego Appalachian.
That's the transportation director, Anthony Quaranta.
In almost every small town in America, you drive by, there'll be a banner hanging on a bus saying bus drivers needed.
The district is losing three more drivers at the end of the next school year, and it's going to be taxing and already short bus driving staff.
Three people retiring this year is one thing. Three people next year, three people the year. For some reason, we're just not getting any applicants.
Quaranta says they have reached the desperation point there at Owego Appalachian.
Bottom line to this is, if you like kids and like to work with kids, we will teach you to drive a school bus.
If more drivers are not found soon, the future of school trips and sporting events will be in jeopardy at Owego Appalachian. It is now 13 past the hour. Sports next. It's the 2-minute drill. Pinch hitting for Sonny today. Family Life's Bill Price.
Yeah, the Minnesota Twins punching their ticket to the playoffs. The Twins clinched the American League Central Division title last night after beating the Tigers 5-1. Manager Rocco Baldelli.
Every win that gets us closer to our goal is meaningful to us. We have approached all of these games the same way. It's gotten us to a good place. We're very proud of the way that we've, you know, performed and handled ourselves as a group to get to this point.
The Cleveland Indians lost to the Chicago White Sox, sealing the deal for Minnesota. This is the Twins' first American League Central championship in 9 years. The Red Hot Brewers clinching their second straight playoff appearance as Ryan Braun hit a grand slam to spark a 9-2 win over the Reds.
Fortunate to be a part of so many big moments in playoff clinching games. So certainly, obviously, when you're able to put a 4 or 5 spot on the board for the first inning, I think it helps everybody relax and take some of the pressure off.
Milwaukee winning its 6th straight and 17th in 19 games as the Brewers pulled within 1.5 games of the Cardinals for the NL Central lead. The A's got a huge 2-run homer from Matt Chapman in the 9th inning to turn a 2-1 deficit into a 3-2 lead and a victory over the Angels. With the win, the A's now have a half-game lead over Tampa Bay for the AL's top wild card spot. Charlie Morton and four relievers combining on a one-hitter, and the Rays maintain their hold on a playoff spot. 4-0 win over the Yankees last night. New York manager Aaron Boone says Morton was good.
Command started with and then really good stuff. You know, the ability to pitch on both sides of the plate with his fastball. And then, you know, the ability to really spin it like very few, and, you know, but command it all.
Morton lasted six innings, allowing only a single, walking three, and striking out nine. From the Family Life Sports Desk, I'm Bill Price.
All right, Bill, thank you very much. Sitting in for Sonny today. Still to come on the Noon Report, climate change curriculum. Brushing up on the Bill of Rights and the whistleblower complaint. What does it say? How damaging is it anyway? To the president, some high-stakes drama on Capitol Hill after this.
The science is settled. That's the new secular replacement for Thus Saith the Lord, and students across America are buying it. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street. This is Breakpoint. On Friday, tens of thousands of students around the world staged a walkout, leaving their classes to demand action on climate change. Well, some students walked out. Many school districts, including across the state of New York, just gave all the students the day off to join the protest. It's still unclear how many students actually did join the protest and how many just enjoyed an extra day off. What is clear is that there's no further room for anyone who questions that the planet is indeed warming, that that warming is human-caused, and that it is catastrophic. Oh, and that we have run out of time to do something about it. Not only was that the loud and clear message from Friday's student protesters, it was also the loud and clear message from last week's issue of Time magazine. Titled 2050, How Earth Survived, the issue is written from the perspective 30 years in the future, and it describes how we managed to avoid complete annihilation from climate change. It is an issue full of breathless melodramatics and dogmatism, not least of which this paragraph from Time's editor-in-chief and CEO Edward Felsenthal in the opening editorial. Quote, notably, what you will not find in this issue are climate change skeptics. Core to our mission is bringing together diverse perspectives. Experts can and should debate the best route to mitigating the effects of climate change, but there is no serious doubt that those effects are real. We're witnessing them right in front of us. The science on global warming is settled, he writes. There isn't another side. There isn't another moment. Well, one of the people that Time doesn't want us to hear from is Judith Curry, who, prior to her retirement, was the chair of the School of Earth and Atmospheric Sciences at Georgia Tech. Curry doesn't think that the science is settled. In her words, if all other things remain equal, it is clear that adding more carbon dioxide to the atmosphere will warm the planet. However, the real difficulty is that nothing remains equal. In other words, we simply don't know enough about how, as she puts it, the sun, volcanic eruptions, and the interactions between the atmosphere and ocean impact the climate to claim that the science is settled about human-caused climate change. How much of the measured warming and recent tropical storm activity is the result of these factors, which are beyond human control? How much is increased CO2 the result of human activity? We are simply not sure. Now, there's typically nothing wrong with admitting uncertainty. However, when it comes to this issue, by claiming the science settled and treating anyone who disagrees as deniers and heretics, uncertainty is no longer allowed. For many people, a certain kind of environmentalist catastrophism has become a religion, and arresting climate change has become a crusade. The first casualty of the crusade is the honest pursuit of the truth. David Wallace Wells' book, The Uninhabitable Earth, Life After Warming, is treated by many in the media and universities as scripture, complete with prophetic warnings about the end of the world. Yet, as my Colson Center colleague Warren Cole Smith points out, there are scientists who strongly disagree with Wallace Wells. For example, Michael Mann, the creator of the hockey stick graph, and he isn't alone. Another climate researcher called Wallace Wells' predictions, quote, sloppy and hyperbolic. Now, of course, I'm not saying here that Christians shouldn't care for the environment or that we shouldn't take a threat of climate change seriously. What I am saying is that there's no way to know what challenges we face, much less how we can confront those challenges, if we take the sort of science-settled approach that Time magazine has. For Breakpoint, I'm John Stone Street.
It's 20 past the hour. Weather next with Kevin Williams. All right, Kevin, thank you very much at the Weather Center today. This is the Noon Report. I'm your host, Bob Price. Thanks for checking in. Here's what's going on this Thursday afternoon, the 26th of September. High-stakes drama on Capitol Hill today. The acting director of National Intelligence is testifying before a House panel about a whistleblower complaint that went public this morning. That complaint alleges an abuse of power by President Trump during that now infamous half-hour telephone call he had with the leader of Ukraine over the summer. More on today's testimony from correspondent Bill Rakoff.
One of the big issues for Democrats like Intelligence Chairman Adam Schiff is why it took so long for acting DNI Joseph McGuire to turn the complaint over to Congress. McGuire says it was a matter of executive privilege.
I have to work with what I've got, and that is the Office of Legal Counsel within the executive branch.
Ranking Republican Devin Nunes says Democrats are politicizing the whistleblower process.
If the Democrats were really concerned with defending that process, they would have pursued this matter with a quiet, sober inquiry, as we do for all whistleblowers.
I'm Steve Dorsey in Washington. The whistleblower cites multiple U.S. government officials who accuse President Trump of using his power to solicit interference from a foreign country in the 2020 U.S. election. The whistleblower also says White House officials told them they were, quote, deeply disturbed by what had transpired in the phone call.
The whistleblower is an intelligence official who learned about the president's phone call secondhand from somebody at the White House. Republicans call today's hearing much to do about nothing, really, and does not rise to the level of an impeachable offense. That phone call, that is. A tentative deal between General Motors and striking auto workers could be announced soon. Negotiations are showing progress in Detroit. Nearly 50,000 union employees have been on strike since September 16th, demanding higher wages, better health care, and job security. An arrest has been made following that horrific stabbing at a shopping mall in suburban Buffalo. Family Life's Dee Haley.
A Niagara Falls man is in custody in connection with a fatal stabbing at the McKinley Mall. Niagara Falls police reportedly received a tip that the suspect, 39-year-old Keith Sparks, was staying at a home on Independence Avenue. Niagara Falls police detained him to later be transferred by Hamburg police. Hamburg police say a 36-year-old Buffalo woman was stabbed to death while shopping inside the Sears store at the McKinley Mall yesterday afternoon. Sparks was taken into custody late last night. An investigation is underway. Dee Haley, Family Life News.
Former French President Jacques Chirac has died. He was 86, a polarizing figure for many Americans.
Mr. Speaker, the President of the French Republic.
Congress gave Chirac a warm welcome to Washington back in 1996, but relations soured in 2003 when the French ruler became a leading opponent of the decision to invade Iraq and topple Saddam Hussein.
Think it over seriously before you take action that is not necessary, and that can be very dangerous.
That got Americans so angry that French fries were renamed Freedom Fries for a time. 'Tis the season for the sneezing. Health officials say this time of year is one of the worst time of years for allergy sufferers.
We see increase in hospitalizations for asthma during August and September.
Dr. Asha Gupta is an allergy specialist in the Southern Tier.
We don't understand all the reasons why it is. It may be changes in temperature, it may be changes in humidity, it may be mold spores in some cases that trigger it.
A new study says milk keeps you hydrated better than water. Milk! Researchers at St. Andrews in Scotland compared the hydration responses to a variety of drinks and found that beverages with a little bit of sugar, fat, or protein keep you hydrated longer than water. How about that? They found milk in particular is more hydrating because it contains lactose, protein, and some fat, all of which help to keep hydration happening over a longer period of time. Well, how young is too young to be in love? A school in southern Indiana has banned dating for fifth graders. Riverside Elementary in Jeffersonville, Indiana, says too many hearts are being broken at school and it's impacting the education of students. Parents got a note in the mail this week from the district saying children must end immediately any relationships they are in. Talking romantic relationships here. Some parents are upset, though, that the school schools trying to police what is happening between the boys and girls at that elementary school. Nearly half of all Americans say things go badly when they lend money to friends and family.
According to Bankrate.com, 37% report experiencing a damaged relationship with the borrower. Additionally, 37% of those who lent a credit card to a friend or family member either lost money or took a hit to their credit score. Bankrate industry analyst Ted Rossman says, quote, "I'd avoid lending cash and credit cards and co-signing." He says, "It's okay to just say no. Parents of adult children are most likely to lend cash, co-sign for a loan, or lend their credit card."
Lisa Z in New York's 25 past the hour. You're plugged into the Noon Report on Family Life.
This is Faith Under Fire. Each Thursday on Family Life, we give voice to religious battlegrounds in this nation. I'm your host, Tracy Lynn. With us today, civil liberties attorney Craig Parshall. He works as general counsel for the National Religious Broadcasters and special counsel for the ACLJ. This month, we celebrated Constitution Day, marking the formation and signing of the U.S. Constitution by 39 brave men 232 years ago. Craig, I think we could use a little refresher, especially on the Constitution's First Amendment in the Bill of Rights. Would you tell us briefly about the five freedoms granted American citizens through the First Amendment?
Yes. First of all, I had my law practice years ago in Fredericksburg, Virginia, and it was in the shadow of the law offices of the likes of people like Thomas Jefferson, James Madison, and others. And James Madison said when it came to the Bill of Rights, he wanted to have as the very first of the First Amendment rights the free exercise of religion. He had seen persecution from the religious standpoint himself, and he wanted to make sure that would be eradicated and that right would be foundational. So there's two parts to that. There's the free exercise clause, and then there's the establishment clause, but they're not supposed to fight against each other. The establishment clause simply says that the government cannot establish a formal religion and then require American citizens to support it against their conscience. In other words, we can't be coerced into supporting something that violates our religious conscience. The free exercise clause means that you have the right to practice, observe, and speak out your religion as long as the courts don't say that it oversteps some other fundamental right of other citizens. The right to petition is important because every time you see pictures of people getting together and mounting the steps of the Supreme Court with signs, whether they're protesting for or against something, that's a form of informal petition. There's also a right of formal petition to your government where you can contact your elected officials and you can ask them to be able to vote for or against certain things that you happen to believe in that are happening in Capitol Hill or in terms of your local assembly. Which brings me to the next one, which is the right to assemble, which means and includes the right of association as well. When you're a member of an organization, you have a right to meet freely with that organization or that ministry or that church without being punished by the government because they disfavor who that group is and what they stand for. The right of freedom of press is important because the founders, even before they signed the Declaration of Independence, they were talking about the need for a freedom of the press because they envisioned a government once the revolution was won where the informed electorate could only be informed before they vote by a free, open, and informative press. Yes. We have to have a plethora of press organizations so that we can be, quote, an informed electorate.
Craig, that's one of the best concise definitions I've ever heard of those five freedoms. When it comes to religious freedom, we're seeing an interesting push by atheist groups. I recently talked with a spokesperson from the Freedom Forum Institute who says the 25 to 30% of Americans who call themselves non-religious support religious liberty also for the sake of practicing no religion.
I have observed over the last few decades a building momentum that's now turning into a movement among those who declare themselves to be atheists in America to have equal representation and equal rights, to be basically a protected group, protected by law, with special protections against so-called anti-atheist discrimination. Well, this is part of their agenda, frankly, to secularize American society. A famous Supreme Court Justice, William O. Douglas, once said, and by the way, he was really not a traditional religious believer himself, But he said, we as Americans historically have always been a religious people. Our institutions have presupposed the existence of a supreme being. So he even noticed that that is a fact of American culture and history. So the atheists are really on the outs, and they really want to get a foothold in terms of political and legal power. So they're arguing that whenever atheists don't have an equal voice in whatever the forum happens to be, then the equal protection clause of the Constitution has been violated, or their First Amendment rights have been violated. And as long as atheists are not being jailed for being atheists, as long as they're not being treated as lesser citizens because of their particular worldview, under the Constitution, they don't have a gripe.
That's Craig Parshall, General Counsel for the National Religious Broadcasters. I'm Tracy Lynn, Family Life News.
Thank you very much, Tracy. Faith Under Fire comes your way every Thursday during the Noon Report or online anytime at fln.org/news. You can also download all our daily features at fln.org/podcast.
Good afternoon. Here is your Family Life regional weather forecast. A cold front crossing the area today, kicking up the breezes and a few scattered showers and thunderstorms. In the wake of the front, though, skies will be clearing and the sun will be shining abundantly across the region tomorrow, ahead of the next front that will deliver some showers and thunder showers on Saturday, although it too will be followed by clearing skies and sunshine the following day. That would be Sunday. Though the call for the afternoon, across central New York, central and eastern Pennsylvania, variably cloudy skies, a couple of scattered showers and thunderstorms. And farther west, western New York, western Pennsylvania, well, partly sunny skies, just an isolated shower, thunder shower. It'll be breezy. High temps, 60s and low 70s, dropping into the 40s for many tonight as skies turn clear. Mostly sunny tomorrow in the 70s. And for the weekend, warmer Saturday, couple of showers and thunderstorms. Cooler with sunshine returning on Sunday.
Okay, Kevin, thank you very much. At the Weather Center, finally at noon, scrambled eggs. The order of the day on a Schuylkill County highway this week. Family Life's Terry Diener.
Police say more than 136,000 eggs splattered on a road when they shifted and fell out of a tractor trailer driving through Pennsylvania. The Pottsville Republican Herald reports 11,340 dozen eggs and 2,200 gallons of egg product were ruined when a driver lost control of the rig in Higgins. The highway was closed for several hours after the incident. Terry Diener, Family Life News.
All right, Terry, thank you for that. That's the world we live in. Thursday, September 26th. I'm Bob Price, Family Life News.
You've been listening to the Noon Report, heard weekdays on Family Life. Thank you for listening.